Well, good morning once again. So glad that you're here with us this morning. If you are our guest this morning, we're especially happy that you are here. And I should say that if Kevin may have had to leave. Kevin, I apologize. You weren't the long-winded one this morning. Jody, raise your hand back there. Come on. Jody, during the greeting time, Jody came, he kind of this humble man, he came and he confessed to me, it was me. So, Kevin, I apologize, and Jody will talk. I'm just saying. No, it's all right. As long as you're long-winded with the gospel, brother, that's all right. We'll let you go with it. But if you are our guest this morning, I hope you feel welcomed. I hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. There is a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. We're not requiring you to fill that out, but would love for you to fill it out and let us know you were here. There is a spot if you want to be added to our email list. You can put your email down there and check the little box so that I know you want to be added, and we'll get you on our email list. And at the end of the service, I will be out in the foyer down at this end, and we'll have a free gift for our guests, and you can bring the card with you then, or you can leave that card there in your seat, either way. But glad that you're with us this morning. Also, keep our registration pads going, moving to the end of the line. Don't let them sit beside you in the middle of the row. So, Isaiah 43. Turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah 43. How many of you have completed and did pretty good on the Matthew Challenge for January? Woohoo! Bunch of you. How many of you are pressing on into Acts in February? Woohoo! Good. So we're just, Friday was the first, today's the third, so you can catch up real easy. We're going to be traveling a chapter a day through Acts for our reading for at home. So, email me your comments and your questions and all that stuff. Isaiah 43, and we know Isaiah, he was a prophet. Many just really rich writings came through the pen of Isaiah from God. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now, this is what the Lord says, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel. So the Lord has something to tell us. What's He got to tell us? Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. That's good news, church. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead, since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We have invited you and we trust that you are here with us because you promised to be with us. So, Holy Spirit, speak in power and authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I'm continuing the sermon series, Holding Steady in Uncertain Times. Holding Steady in Uncertain Times. Now, there's three weeks. The last 3 weeks I've been preaching on this, and as I said last week, I'm not going to rehash all of the issues that we face. If you have not been here, I encourage you to watch, go to our website or our app and pull up sermons from week one or two, and I kind of go over a lot of that. But here's needless to say, we are in uncertain times, as a country, as a society, as a culture, as a denomination. And today's message is choosing fear or faith. What's the opposite of fear?
Faith.
So we'll talk more about that in just a minute. I'm kind of a history buff. I don't claim to be a historian or anything like that, but I like history. It's very interesting to me, and I read a lot about history and watch a lot of documentaries on history and so forth. There's anybody see the movie? I think it came out about a year ago, called Darkest Hour, and it was Winston Churchill. It's a good movie. Chronicles Winston Churchill through the World War II era of his leadership. And I want you to just try to picture this, the uncertainty of that era. Some of you lived through that era, but other than Pearl Harbor, we didn't have bombs dropping on us in our cities in America. But in England, in London and other cities, they would have air raids. They'd be just going about their day, and suddenly they'd hear bombers in the sky, and bombs would just start dropping. And can you imagine the fear that would set into a city and to a people in those kinds of days? And I love this quote from Winston Churchill. Go ahead and throw that up there, Lee. Fear is a reaction. Courage is a decision. And I would make that more biblical and say faith is a decision, because that's what courage is choosing to have faith in the face of fear. Fear, it's interesting as I explore that fear. When did fear come into the picture? I mean, when did we start being fearful as humanity? It goes all the way back to the garden. Listen to this now. You know, God, he creates this garden, and he has Adam and Eve, and they have the run of the place, and he says, do whatever you want. This is yours. You know, tend the garden and do all these, just have a wonderful time. Just don't do this one thing. If you do it, he said that sin would come into the picture, death would come into the picture, and here's what else would come into the picture. Fear. Listen to this. After we know the story, Adam and Eve, they both ate of the fruit that God had forbid, and they were ashamed. So shame came into the picture after the sin. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" Can you just picture that? That God walking through the garden and going, "Adam," and maybe put your name in there. "Hey, Adam." I love it when my kids, my grandkids, are starting to learn to play hide and seek. And of course, when you're little, they go hide, and their head's like sticking out above the couch, and they're like, over here. If you're walking, you're trying to give them a little time. Anybody else's kids do that? And over here, they're not very good at hide and seek, but Adam was probably a little better at it. He says, "Adam, where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and listen for it, I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." So there's a shame and fear came into the picture from the very beginning. And man, it's amazing if you just look at Scripture. If you've got any software, computer software that's biblical software, just kind of do a search for "do not be afraid" and "fear" and those kinds of phrases. And I've found over 100 different occurrences in the Bible where different times God or others are saying, "Do not be afraid." We had God to Abraham. We had God speaking to Moses. We had God speaking to Joshua. And in each instance, "Don't be afraid." When the angel appeared to Mary and told her she was going to be bearing the Son of God, "Do not be afraid." First thing that he told her. Angels to the shepherds, when they saw the angels appear, "Do not be afraid." Jesus, after his resurrection, "Do not be afraid." Over and over and over, we see this phrase, "Do not be afraid." So, why are we afraid? Isn't it interesting to ask that question? God seems to know that fear is something that we will struggle with. Now listen, I said earlier that faith is the opposite of fear. Now, listen to this passage. You may or may not know the story. Jesus is going through his ministry, and he is approached by this synagogue ruler named Jairus. And Jairus has this sick daughter who is near death, and he comes to Jesus, and he says, I'd like for you to heal my daughter. And before Jesus can say anything, these servants of Jairus walk up and say, don't bother Jesus, because your daughter is dead. And listen to what Jesus says in that moment. Don't be afraid, just believe. Do you hear? Fear and belief are totally opposite of each other. Jesus knew that. He's expressing that to us. That when we are facing uncertainty in our lives, and I would make this a little more relevant to where we are, when we're facing uncertainty in our denomination, in our government, and even more personal, in our families, when we're facing uncertainty, Jesus would say to us, don't be afraid, just believe. In other words, trust me. I talked about this a couple of weeks ago in my own personal experience. So many times when we're anxious, when we're fearful, when we're worried, the message that God has for us is just trust me. Just trust me. Now, so I want to unpack this scripture a little bit closer that we looked at today, Isaiah 43, 1 through 5. So during uncertain times, remember that you are created by God in His image. You belong to Him. That's big stuff. I can just different examples of that. You know, I had a friend of mine tell me one time that he liked to throw rocks, and when he was a little boy, he liked to throw rocks, and he picked up this big rock one day, and he just threw it, and there was this metal building. His neighbor had this metal building. It's just like, that looks like that needs a rock up beside that metal building. And so he just threw it and left a big old dent in this building, and the neighbor was not happy, as you can imagine. And I remember this friend of mine saying that the neighbor realized who had done it because he had seen him throwing rocks, and so he confronts him, and the dad, he gets the dad involved, and they go, and the dad looks down at his son, son, did you throw the rock? And the son says, yes, dad, I threw the rock. And so the man looks at his neighbor, and he says, for all the damage my son has caused, I will pay the price. We belong to God. We're created in His image, and He loves us. This passage, verse 1, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel. Secondly, during uncertain times, not only do we belong to God, but we need to remember that the Lord redeemed us and He calls us by name. One of the passages says that God has written our name on the palms of His hands. I don't know how big God's hands are, but that's a lot of names. But He has written us on the palm of His hands. The Lord says in our passage today, fear not, there it is, fear not, for I've redeemed you. I've summoned you by name. You are mine. We are His people. We are redeemed people. And so we don't have to worry about all this other nonsense. Yes? If you're hearing what I'm saying, shake your head. Yes. In Romans, it says it this way, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. And that Abba, another translation for that is Daddy. Don't you love that? That God loves us so much that we can call out to Him as Daddy. That's good stuff. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Think about that. I've said this example before, but if there were two chairs right in front and you were sitting in a chair and Jesus was sitting in a chair and somebody asked God the Father, who do you find more pleasing? Who is more pleasing to you? course, my first impression of that, my first instinct is to say, Jesus, because he's Jesus. And I'm just a worthless old guy. I'm this broken vessel. But the answer is, he finds us both equally pleasing and acceptable because we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Are you hearing me? Anybody hearing that? We are, God looks at us, he sees the righteousness of Christ because we're clothed in it. We're redeemed and we're called by his name, so we don't have to worry about stuff. We don't have to worry about stuff and be anxious. Last week, I think it was, I read the scripture where it says, how many of us can add 1 hour to our day by worrying, being fearful? I don't know why we think, if I can worry hard enough, this will get better. Don't we do that? Or if I'm adequately afraid, this, I'm not sure what that is, but if I'm adequately afraid, then this has got to get better. No, we belong to God. We're redeemed by him. He calls us by name. We are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. So we don't have to worry about uncertain times. And by the way, I always get more out of my sermon than you do, I know. I just let y'all listen. I preach to myself, generally. That was not an appropriate amen over there. Who said that? Oh, yeah, you were thinking about you, yeah. We got to work on the timing of these amens. Thank you, Kyle. That one was better. That was better. All right, number three. During uncertain times, remember that the Lord walks with you through every circumstance. He doesn't throw us out. He doesn't cast us out and go, you can handle it. Come back and see me if you need anything. No, this passage today says, fear not. The Lord says, fear not. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Do not be afraid. I am with you. He walks with us. And I tell you, sometimes that, I don't know how we make it if we don't know that. You know, when we have loss, when we have tragedy and struggles and trials in our life, when the doctor gives us news that we don't want to hear, when we lose a loved one, on and on and on, we don't have to fear the future because God is with us. He walks with us. I had this was a few years ago when I was preaching. There's a sermon I look back at from about 7 or 8 years ago, but I asked the congregation to ask me questions that I would try to, you know, preach about and have biblical answers to. And one of the questions, I remember, I'm paraphrasing here, but a lady emailed me and she said, I've just recently lost my husband. How do I go forward? I mean, that's life. That's real stuff. Well, the first thing, and that's a whole different sermon, but the first thing is to know God is with you. He's going to walk with you through this journey. Psalm 23, probably the most well-known psalm. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because why? You are with me. I don't have to fear evil because you're with me. You walk with me. He walks with us. It doesn't mean that, unfortunately, it doesn't mean that, it doesn't, in fact, nowhere in Scripture does it say, follow me and life will be easy. It's not there. It's not there. We still get sick. We still have death. We still lose jobs. We still struggle with relationships. We still struggle with finances. All of the things that come, this life is messy and it's hard. But he walks with us. And man, I love that. Fourth thing, during uncertain times, remember that the Lord is holy and your Savior. It's interesting if you really these five verses that I've read today is sandwiched by two different statements. The first is the Lord says, "Fear not," and then it closes with, "Don't be afraid, because I'm with you." So everything in between is Him teaching us why we are not to fear and why we are not to be afraid. "Fear not," the Lord says, "for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." And so we can read that and we can understand that God's saying, "I'm God. I got it. Whatever it is, I got it. Trust me. I'm your Savior. I'm God. I'm the Holy One of Israel. And you can trust me." Fifth thing, during uncertain times, remember that you are precious and loved by the Lord. You are precious and loved by the Lord. The Lord says, "Fear not, since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you." Now, originally this was stated to the nation of Israel, and I don't know how much of your Old Testament you've read, but they got it wrong all the time. They were messed up. It wasn't like this holy nation that was always on their game, that God was going, "You know what? You guys, y'all are pretty good guys, and I love you." Y'all didn't know that God had a West Texas accent, did you? They messed up all the time. I mean, did anybody hear that? All the time. So if you've messed up, if you don't feel worthy of that statement, you should. "Fear not, you're precious and honored in His sight, because I love you." It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what's been done to you. It doesn't matter if you've ever been in church. It doesn't matter any of those things. He loves you. You're His. You belong to Him. And He loves you. Now, as I think through this whole dynamic of fear, this is what came to my mind. This is just my own thoughts. When we're paralyzed by fear, it is an indication of areas in our life we have not surrendered our wound to Christ. That's I'm not reading. That's my thought. But I believe that with all my heart. When we're paralyzed by fear, it's an area. And let me give you an example. I know many of you have lost spouses probably recently, and I don't have anybody in mind. I'm just making a general statement here. If we are fearful, if we've lost a spouse, and we are fearful of the future, that's a wound that God is still working on in us. And it doesn't mean that you'll get up to a place if you surrender it, it's like you won't ever grieve again. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if you're fearful of what the future holds, God is still ministering to that woundedness in you. It's an area that we still need work. The deeper we press into God, whatever the situation is, the deeper we press into God, the less we fear. I say that all the time. It's the answer for so many things. Press into God. You're fearful? Press into God. You're worried about stuff? You're anxious about stuff? Press into God. And there's so many different, it's a broad statement. Press into God means getting His Word. It's amazing to me how many of us that we struggle with stuff and we need some relief and we know that God's the answer, but we hadn't cracked the Bible. We hadn't cracked the Bible to see what, if maybe. There's all sorts of we have no excuse these days. There's all sorts of resources for us. There's books that you can get for $5 you can go through. It's like, if you're struggling with fear, and it'll have boom, 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 scriptures. If you are depressed, boom, 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 boom. And just, we have no, and I've got some of those in the office. If anybody needs any of those kind of resources, come see me. The deeper we press into God, the less we fear. perfect love. John, 1 John 4 says, perfect love drives out fear. Who has perfect love? Jesus. So tap into that. We got to tap into that. We got to press into him, because perfect love drives out fear. Perfect love is incompatible with fear. When we love God perfectly as he loves us perfectly, I'm just saying, we will not fear. I'm probably, I know some. This is a bigger struggle. Fear is maybe a bigger struggle for some. I got a lot of struggles, but generally speaking, fear is not a struggle for me. Cheryl can tell you, I'm just kind of like, it'll be all right. Whatever it is, it'll be all right. But I know for some, fear is a real struggle. And I think that we've got to press in, we've got to surrender the future to the Lord. Now, tying this in with our denominational issues, here in about 2 or 3 weeks, we'll be having a big denominational general conference where decisions will be made that could, no matter what we believe or don't believe, could impact our local church, could impact us. And decisions may have to be made by us in the future. I'm just not afraid of that. Amen. I'm just not afraid of it. And I've said it, and I'll say it again. Keep our eyes focused on Jesus, and we're going to be just fine. When I say we as individuals, and I believe we as a collective church, and no matter what votes happen or don't happen about anything or decisions are made, I'm focusing on Jesus. And I'm going to try with all my heart to walk with him. And sometimes, that's many times, you're walking upstream to our culture. And that's, sometimes that's difficult. You know, if you think about Jesus and his life, did Jesus walk, did he flow with the stream of his culture? I mean, back when I weighed a little less and was younger, I used to go to the Lazy River. You remember the Lazy Rivers? Now I don't want everybody bailing out of the pool, you know, if I get in. But anyway. We used to go to Schlitterbahn. You remember the Lazy River? And I don't even want to tell you what I've realized after I stopped doing that, what's probably happening in the Lazy River. But anyway, I digress. But you kind of get an inner tube, and you just kind of flop on that inner tube, and you just kind of float, and it's kind of relaxing, it's kind of cool. Can you imagine? And sometimes you get somebody, you know, they pass the steps to get out, and these people, you know, they're past the steps, and they're like, you know, trying to get. Sometimes that's what it's like to walk with Christ. I don't know if I have a weird imagination, but that's, I don't know if anybody else got that. But walking, just that stream of the culture. And sometimes it's like, no, Jesus is back here. The stream's going this way, but he's back here. So we got to walk again, and you're bumping into people, and they're getting mad at you and stuff, but Jesus is back here. I want to be with him. Jesus did not just float along the culture. He stood against the church. I mean, the people he was hardest on was the Pharisees. He called them all kinds of names. You brood of vipers. I mean, he was not pleasant with them. Jesus is worth the effort. He's worth the effort because he loves us. And he demonstrated his love for us by becoming broken. It should have been us. Broken, but Jesus allowed himself to be broken for our sake. And that was against the tide as well. And Jesus spilled his blood because he loves us, which was also against the tide. People didn't understand. Because he has allowed his body to be broken, and I've said this many times, nobody killed Jesus. Did you know that? You know, I remember when that movie came out, The Passion of the Christ, and there was this big debate in the media. It's like, well, Mel Gibson's blaming it on the Jews, or that, well, it's really the Roman soldiers that killed. It wasn't any of that. Jesus gave himself up for us. He didn't hide. He was not hiding. He marched into Jerusalem knowing what awaited him because he loves us. And I'll tell you, when you grab hold of that, you don't have to fear the future. When we understand how the Creator of the universe feels about us, we don't have to fear for the future. So it's his body and his blood that we come and we remember as we partake in this meal. It begins with repentance. We don't like that word in our culture. That's another one. We don't want anybody telling us that we're messed up. Well, I'm messed up. I need Jesus. Anybody with me? We need Jesus because we're broken. So if you just bow your head and in your own heart, just confess to him that you are broken and you need him and you're thankful for this meal. In the name of Jesus, you are forgiven, church. Amen.